As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Ding. This is your host, Mark Schindler, coming at you on Thursday morning. I'm joined by Mo DeKeel. Mo, how are you doing today, man?
I'm great, man. This was a wild night of basketball. Just absurd.
Yeah, that is a plain way to put it. It felt like we had not the full 15-game stretch, but we got a lot of them. I think the best way to kick this one off is how it ended. Sacramento and Cleveland. Sacramento gets out of here with a really good win, 127-120. Mo, De'Aaron Fox was fantastic down the stretch.
I mean, I thought he was good, but I thought it was the other guys, to be honest with you, Mark. I thought Herter hit a couple of big shots. Sabonis, Monk making a big-time pass out to Herter for one of those threes. I mean, they end this game on a 10-3 run in the last 2 minutes. It was tied at 117 apiece, and then these guys just kind of go off. This is a big win for Sacramento. This could be like a building moment almost.
Yeah, 100%. It felt like they got just enough defense out of tonight, even, you know, giving up 120 points. Things are starting to click a little bit there. Harrison Barnes finally had a good game tonight, which was nice to see. Yeah, man, I'm excited for what's next for them. As far as the Cavs were at in this game, what do you think kind of went awry here?
One, I think they started out slow, and I think that was one of their problems there. Just the first half in general, they seemed to be stuck in mud a little bit. And then Donovan Mitchell just went completely ballistic in the third and fourth quarter to kind of bring them back. And it looked like for a while they're going to take this game. But I think, you know, what tends to happen with this team, and we saw it in their loss to the Clippers, is they start going to like a prevent offense in the final 4 or 5 minutes of the games. And I'm like, yo, that's not what got you here. You got to be smarter than that. And I think that sort of let them down there in this game. And their offense, as well as their defense, but mostly their offense, really just kind of let them down, I felt like, in the final few minutes.
Yeah, 100%. Well, moving on back to across the way in the Midwest to Chicago, the Pelicans escape out of here with a 115-111 win. Brandon Ingram was absolutely on fire late in the game, was scoring in every variety of way possible, coming off screens, isolating from the mid-post, attacking from the outside, finished a game-high plus 19 with 22 points, 9 boards, 3 assists. The Pels have been playing around 500 basketball. This felt like a big win for whoever was going to come out of this one, because both teams have been, you know, kind of poking around trying to find their way. What'd you see in this one?
We saw a lot of bricks from three. That's for sure. I just saw the stat now as it came across. I watched the game and I was like, wow, it looked even worse when you see it on the stat sheet from both teams. I think you just saw a lot of just rebounding from the Pelicans end in terms of offensive rebounds. You know, they were doing a good job crashing the boards, getting a lot more opportunities in the sense of second chance points and things like that. It's funny, they got more offensive boards, but also they got to cut down the turnovers. That's really kind of what's holding them back. And I think defensively, teams are going at Zion. you know, and they're putting him in pick and rolls and trying to find opportunities to attack him there. I think that was kind of the issue for the Pelicans there in this one. And I think ultimately they got to figure that out. But it's a nice to leave Chicago with a win.
Yeah, definitely. Especially too, looking on the Bulls side. Zach LaVine didn't have the best game tonight, but continues to look a little bit better physically than he did early on in the year as he gets a little bit of the rust worn off of him coming off that knee injury. DeMar DeRozan was electric again tonight, finished with 33 points on 14 of 26 from the field. I feel like this guy's going to be scoring 30 points efficiently until he's 40, but a fun
50.
A fun
why not? Until he's 50. Yeah, why I mean, not? Hey, let's put him on the Tom Brady program. Let's go.
sounds good to me.
It's fun to watch, you know, with DeRozan. But the other guy that really kind of killed it for the Bulls and kept them in this game, Goran Dragic was phenomenal. He had a real interesting run, you know, in the third and fourth quarter where I felt like, man, this is something we were watching where I said, this guy's going off. And he had a wild pass, Mark, to I think it was to Derrick Jones Jr. He just threw it behind his head as he's jumping up for a layup, and that ended up being an and-one. It's a big-time play right there. Just fun stuff. I like what this Bulls team is, even though they lost this one. I still think there's a lot of talent on this team, and I just keep an eye on them.
I agree. Patrick Williams looking a little bit more comfortable out there, finding more of a role. The bench continues to really impress me. I think it's just finding more cohesiveness in the starting lineup and throughout is going to be important, but I agree. Moving on from there, we had an unexpected barn burner in Indiana today. Between the Pacers and the Nuggets, came down to a Miles Turner missed three that rimmed out right at the end that would have sent it to overtime. Man, especially considering how far down the Nuggets went down here to come back. What are you taking out of this one? Because there's a lot to this was a funky game. I think it's the weirdest game we saw tonight.
Oh, we'll get to the weirdest game you saw from tonight a little bit later. But the Nuggets, really, it was a weird game from them. For them, this is one of those like, hey, you're happy you came back down 18, mm-hmm. made this run. But they looked like they were trying to give this game away down the stretch. I didn't really understand what they were doing in the final seconds there. Jokic gets the ball, has just an opportunity to hold it, draw, get fouled, go to the line, make it a 5-point game. Really kind of just seal it. Instead, he goes for a layup because he had an open lane, but it ends up getting contested. He misses it. And then he nearly fouls Miles Turner on that three. I was shocked. I was just like, this was some boneheaded stuff there. I think the Nuggets are lucky to get away with one just because they did not deserve to win this game.
Yeah, I agree in entirety. Their defense was a mess tonight for pretty much the entire game. Like you mentioned with Jokic too, he had 4 fouls in the first half. Like he only ended up playing 20 minutes tonight. One of those weird games from him where he just kind of is in a funk. He played when he was on the court. He was awesome. 24 points, 6 assists. But it's just, yeah, I agree. Just some weirdness there. Jamal Murray was some really tough clutch shot making when Jokic was out in the third and as they claw back in the fourth as well. But for me, the biggest part of this game, most exciting part of this game, Benedict Mathurin, 18-point second quarter, was just on an insane heater. What did you think of him tonight and just in general? Because he continues to just be a joy to watch so far early in the season.
He's the reason why people got to tune into the Indiana Pacers. I mean, it's just that simple. He's coming off the bench, dropped 30 tonight, 6 and 9 from three. Like, just an impressive sort of player. This is the kind of guy we were excited about coming out of the draft. You're looking at him going like, this is a kid that can put up some big points, a lot of fun with this stuff. Honestly, like, yo, folks, I know a lot of you aren't going to be watching Indiana. I'm just begging you, please give them a chance because Benedict Mathurin is worth watching.
Yeah, it was an exciting game. Tyrese Haliburton, too, down the stretch, continues to really dip into his shot-making bag. Pulled Nikola Jokic on a switch, started calling out, you can't guard me after he hits a pull-up two over him. So it's been fun to see that from him and from the Pacers in general.
It needed to be a pull-up three. It needed to be a pull-up three. He was foot on the line. It was the longest two. It was so bad.
It went in, so you know it counts for something. But Indiana falls under 500. Denver escapes with, as you mentioned, a win that they probably shouldn't have gotten.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Let's move over to what I'm assuming you consider the weirdest game tonight. Now, in retrospect, I have to agree. Memphis and San Antonio went to overtime in a really enjoyable game. What stood out to you most in this one?
That the clocks don't work properly in San Antonio. It was a weird segment in this game where, you know, the Spurs are, they get a stop. This was in overtime. They get a stop against Memphis with 18 seconds left on the clock. They get the rebound. They score on the other end. There's still 18 seconds on the clock. The clock stopped for just no reason at all. And then the Grizzlies turn the rock over on that inbounding play. And they get another bucket out of this. The ref stopped the play. They take a few more seconds off the clock. But now it put the Spurs in a position to really tie this game with where they were. And I don't know about you, Mark, but I thought that Vassell 3 was going in to tie it.
Oh, I did too. He was fantastic.
Excuse me. To win it. It would have been a win. Sorry.
No, yeah, you're good. Vassell, to me, there were multiple guys making big shots, making big plays, but a lot of this to me was like Vassell and Desmond Bane, especially late in the game. It felt like just a shot-making party from the both of them. Like, Ja was awesome, of course, but watching those two kind of operating in the same way, running off screens, operating off secondary plays, that was an absolute blast. I mean, both of them were so, so good. And like you mentioned too, Jeremy Sochan with that play, he continues to just be really fun. That play that with obviously some trickery with the timing.
He's just that fast, Mark. No time can go off the clock as he goes from at one end of the court to the other.
He has the Harry Potter time turner, I'm convinced. He is British after all, so it's possible. But
okay, so we're going to go with the Harry Potter reference. Okay, we're going to go with that one. That one flew over my head. But one thing I want to say about Memphis, though, can Dylan Brooks take less shots? He took 13 tonight, and I just no. No, like let's cap him at 9, you know, just a fewer shots there in that sense. Granted, he went 3 for 5 from 3 tonight, but his shot selection sometimes kills me when I watch him. It'll help Memphis.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's a very odd paradox of a player sometimes. Going back around the association, one last game to close out on. The Utah Jazz are the first 10-win team in the NBA, the Bucks would follow later on. In the season, the Bucks would follow up with a win about 45 minutes later over the Oklahoma City Thunder. I just want to, not even just this game, just in general, this Jazz team, man, what have you thought of them? How much are you enjoying them? Because I know I'm getting a lot out of watching them play.
Oh, I mean, they're just so much fun. One, the way they're playing on offense, they're moving the ball. There's player movement, cutting. They enjoy playing together. There's a great sequence where towards the end of the game, Mike Conley comes off a high screen, dishes it off for a dunk, and you just see him smiling and laughing, getting back on defense in that sense. And you can just kind of see the joy that they're playing with. For a team that we didn't expect to be very good at all this year, they're a lot of fun. And this was a big win. They built a lead in the first half, almost blew it in the second half, Mark. The Hawks dropped 36 points on them in the third quarter. They started to look like they were getting a roll going. And then they come back and drop 40 on them in the fourth quarter. Like, that's just impressive stuff from this Jazz team.
Yeah, I agree. It was funny because, like you mentioned, in the third, it looked like, all right, this is slipping away, 10-point deficit. But they have gumption, man. Like, the Hawks bench, as good as the Hawks bench was against the Bucks the other night, the Hawks bench really kind of eked this one away for me. They really struggled with some of the pace that Utah was able to come out and play with. They really rattled them a little bit with some of their defensive pressure too later on in the game. And Mike Conley, every time that you think Mike Conley is down for the count and finally hitting the age curve, he was awesome in the fourth quarter tonight. Well, the scoring wasn't there for him, but dishing the rock, just kind of controlling the pace of play, it was really fun to watch him go tonight. I mean,
6 fourth quarter assists, but we also did kind of bury the lead. Another 30-point night for Lauri Markkanen, who finished with 32. Like, let's just be honest. This guy, if he doesn't make it's early. But if he doesn't make the All-Star team, we're going to have problems.
Yeah, he's on that track. He has to, with the way that they're playing. What, averaging like right around 23, 24 points per game. Hasn't updated at B-ball ref yet, but he's been stellar to open the year. If I told you 2 years ago this is what Lauri Markkanen would be doing in 2022, what would you have said?
I thought you'd have drunk. I thought we would have had to start sending you to AA. And it's not really fair to Lauri, but, you know, just in general, I don't think anybody saw this coming from him.
Yeah, I'm not sure Lauri even saw it coming from him when he was still in Chicago 2 years ago. But, you know, going back around the league, just covering up some of the final scores, Orlando, without Paolo Banchero, and noting Dallas did not have Christian Wood, ekes out a 94-87 win tonight. Luka Doncic does not finish with 30 points or higher for the first time this season. Portland ends up taking over against Charlotte, winning 105-95. Detroit falls to Boston 128-112. The Knicks get absolutely housed on national television.
Boat race. They got crushed.
One of the worst games I've seen this year, 112-85.
My guy Jack Vaughn, 3-1 since taking over. Just saying.
The defense, man. The defense. Kevin Durant's playmaking. We're seeing it again. The Toronto Raptors win a close one against Houston, 116-109. Phoenix beats Minnesota, 129-117, in a game that never felt that close.
Just please go back, folks, and find the video when D'Angelo Russell didn't realize that he was supposed to sub into the game, and the Wolves end up playing 4-on-5 for about 2 possessions because the Suns got an offensive rebound and ended up scoring on that. Just do yourself a favor. Go find that video.
Literal meaning of playing smarter, not harder. Going back to the West Coast, the Lakers lose a game to the Clippers, 114-101. LeBron James left with an apparent groin injury later on in the game and fall to 2-9. And lastly, to close out on two, we just want to say thoughts and prayers are with Brittany Griner. TJ Quinn of ESPN reported today that she was being transferred to a Russian penal colony. Her lawyers do not know where she's headed. Considered to just be a much harsher condition overall than being in the penitentiary that she'd been at in Moscow after an appeal was denied on October 24th. She's been detained since February 17th. This is just a really shitty situation, and hopefully things can be resolved sometime soon because this just shouldn't have to happen to anybody.
Bring BG home. Bring BG home.
Free BG until it's backwards. Mo, take us out of here.
Ding, ding.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.